During the feudal period of Japan, if a samurai became masterless upon the death of his master or after the loss of his master's favor or privilege, he was known as a ronin, a wanderer. According to the Bushido, the code of the warrior, set out for samurais, a ronin was supposed to perform seppuku, a form of ritual suicide, upon the loss of his master. One who chose not to honor the code was on his own and was meant to suffer great shame. Not being easily taken by another master, the ronins were known to operate or serve as hired muscles for gangs that ran gambling rings, brothels, protection rackets, and similar activities. Many were petty thieves and muggers. But one specific ronin, Miyamoto Musashi, chose exactly the opposite. In 1600s, he was on the losing side of the Battle of Sekigahara. This battle paved the way for the Tokugawa shogunate, the opposing winners, to establish its control over Japan. The aftermath of the fight left Musashi as a ronin, as his master died in the battle. He chose the path of the lone wolf. Soon Musashi set out on a personal quest to develop the perfect sword fighting technique, and during his travels, Musashi invented the Nitto Ichiryu, a fighting style that required the swordsman to wield two swords. Musashi was one of the greatest samurai to have walked this earth, and he holds a near-mythical status as one of the most influential swordsmen and philosophers, not only in Japan but all over the world. He began his career as a fighter at the tender age of 13, when he killed a man in a single combat. Musashi's skill as a fighter was so great that he fought over 60 individual sword fights and he bested all of his opponents. Not once did he lose a duel. The most famous of these was with his arch nemesis, Sasaki Kijoro, a swordsman many believed had the same level of skill as Musashi. The contest took place on a small island near the coast of Japan. When the two opponents met on the beach, Musashi quickly dispatched his opponents with a blow to the head. With this win, Musashi believed he had reached the peak of his career as a swordsman, and he retired from dueling. In the final days of his life, Musashi retired to a cave called Raigando, the Spirit Rock Cave, and there he wrote the Dokudo, which roughly translates to the path of aloneness or the way to be followed alone. This compilation was the last of Musashi's work, as a week later, the ronin passed away. It contains 21 precepts, each containing a different ideal that an honorable individual is supposed to live by. This is part 2 of the 3-part series. Please watch the part 1 first for the first 7 precepts of Dokudo. I will be releasing part 3 of this series next Friday, so don't forget to subscribe. Rule number 8. Never let yourself be saddened by separation. The world is in a constant state of perpetual flux. Nothing in this world remains the same forever. This is true no matter where you look. The dirt beneath your shoes used to be volcanic ash thousands of years ago, and who knows where it might end up given 1,000 more. This makes the idea that we, as mere mortals, are entitled to have possessions in this world downright delusional. True wisdom is in letting go, be it wealth, status, relationships, or even people. When we make our possessions and things that are out of our control part of ourselves, it only inflicts pain when the possession is taken away from us. Attaching oneself is a folly, one that we must absolutely refrain from. Rule number 9. Resentment and complaint are appropriate neither for oneself or others. The world doesn't conform to our will. It has no reason to. What little we change, we try to change. But ultimately, our destiny unfolds with no regard to our wishes. This makes our anger, our rage, and our resentment towards the world simply futile. The time spent complaining about a problem should be the same time spent solving that problem. Even if your problem with the world is out of your control, there's no use in holding resentment within you. Aside from the banality of being resentful, complaining about the things we dislike all the time actively nibbles at our focus, distracting us from the things that actually matter. Like nature, people don't conform to our worldview and will do and say outrageously stupid and ungrateful things. But there's little you could do to change that. Trying to force your will upon others isn't something that's in the realm of possibilities, not without turning into an angry, resentful tyrant who doesn't have an ounce of self-control in him. If you are in a situation that you can change, then why complain? There is something you can do about it. If you're in a situation that you cannot change, then why complain? There is nothing you can do about it. Rule number 10. Do not let yourself be guided by the feeling of lust or love. Without a doubt, the feeling of love is the strongest of all feelings. To let these feelings grow and become the center of our attention spells doom for us. Excessively loving something or someone is essentially being possessive, which ties nicely with the two precepts we discussed earlier. A great example is the Battle of Troy, in which Paris, a prince, falls in love with Helen, a beautiful woman betrothed to a Spartan king. Paris is young and foolish. Paris lets logic sit outside while love enters through the front door. Destruction comes when love drives. His lust sends two countries to a war and results in the death of his brother. Love makes men do terrible things. Love crumbles great empires beneath the tremendous weight of lust. It didn't matter to Paris if Helen was married or soon to be. It didn't matter how many of Paris's people would die fighting for his willingly kidnapped lover. Paris cared more about a woman he knew for a few days than his people who built his kingdom and allowed him the title of prince. Love and lust can cripple us, and it's best that we keep these feelings in check. It's clear why Musashi would want to refrain from the pursuit of lustful gratification. A warrior lives and dies by his sword, and as such, he has to assert full control over himself by mastering his emotions. Not letting our emotions get hold of us and our feelings overtake our capacity to reason is exceedingly important, especially in today's world. Rule number 11. In all things, have no preferences. When you prefer one thing over the other, you'd want events to occur your way. When our preferences don't match the reality we are in, we feel a slew of unwanted, repressive emotions we have no use for. This is why our preferences should be kept to a minimum. Things that we have no control over aren't asking us to feel a certain way about them. Not letting these preferences overcrowd your mind with emotions was crucial for a samurai, just as it is for anyone looking to make better decisions in life. Rule number 12. Be indifferent to where you live. Living a sedentary lifestyle, we tend to make our home a part of ourselves. This is true for the cities and towns we grew up in, the apartments that speak to our preferences, and the furniture that we keep in it, that we find so comfortable. No matter how luxurious our dwellings or how eventful our childhood was in the house that we grew up in, these are but inhibitions that keep us away from seeking better things in life by confining us in our safe spaces. It is important to have a dwelling you find comfortable, but latching onto it does you no good. This precept, in other words, also translates in being out of your comfort zone. That does not mean you need to move out from where you physically live to make changes. You can believe where you are right now is where you should be, because it is. You are outside of the present if you want to be somewhere else, and you'll never solve a problem here if your mind is there. You lose control of the past when your mind is outside. Living in the future or the past takes away your chances to change the present for the future. The future changes based on the actions you take now. Hating where you live won't change your future. Be thankful for where you live and see it as a place to retire and rejuvenate. But have no attachments to it. Be indifferent to where you live. Rule number 13. Do not pursue the taste of good food. Food is what fuels us, and there's nothing wrong with having a hearty meal after having a long-winded day. However, our desire for good food quickly overgrows our wish to maintain discipline and a healthy body. Gluttony costs us our well-being, and when our cravings are particularly expensive, leaves us little to spend on other things. Ultimately, our appetite becomes numb, and we end up craving even more exotic food, and before we know it, food ends up consuming our lives. Refer to Musashi's 11th rule. In all things, have no preference. Nothing belongs to you. You can't afford to have preference. Preferences tax the soul when inevitable losses take away an ill-believed, guaranteed lifestyle. You are guaranteed nothing. Rule number 14. Do not hold on to possessions you no longer need. Stripping down to our possessions to the bare necessities gives us a mental clarity. When we have fewer things to manage, we have more mental capacity to manage them better. And the same stands true for the things that we own. The only possessions Musashi truly ever cared about were his two swords, the bare essentials for practicing his unique fencing style. Our attachment to our possession is like our cravings for food. The more we consume, the more we end up craving. Owning too much is like taking the gum and stretching it as far as it can go. There's no depth, only width. No meaning to speak of, no purpose to feel. Stretch far enough and the gum snaps. I hope you found the teachings from Dokudo helpful. I will be releasing the third part of the series on next Friday, so subscribe to not miss out. And do check out the first part, which was released last Friday. Please like and comment your thoughts on this video. Thank you for watching.